Welcome to the monthly Three-Edge View from the Edge for October 2025. I'm Fritz Foltz, Chief Investment Strategist here at Three-Edge, and joining me here once again today is Eric Biegeleisen, Director of Investment Research and Deputy Chief Investment Officer here at Three-Edge Asset Management. And as we do each month, Eric will provide our most recent outlook for the global capital markets, which is based on our proprietary Three-Edge research model. Have a great deal to cover today, so let's get started. And despite what seemed like a never-ending news cycle of potential challenges, September proved to be a month of healthy gains across asset classes, including U.S., Japanese, Chinese, and emerging markets, gold, commodities, and even intermediate-term U.S. treasuries. Investors seem to ignore or at least be able to get past concerns of softening U.S. labor market, inflation that could be stuck above the Fed's 2% target, the threat to the independence of the U.S. Federal Reserve, and even the most recent government shutdown in Washington. And so now, as we begin the final 3 months of 2025, the question is, will the same drivers of performance this year, including retail investors' mentality of buying the dip and FOMO, the fear of missing out, that along with enthusiasm over AI and its capacity to supercharge productivity, will those factors still drive the markets higher, or will some event or series of events disrupt the global capital markets in Q4? So with that as the backdrop, let me turn things over to Eric now. And Eric, why don't you start with looking at the matrix, which looks like it's pretty steady state at this point.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks, Fritz. Great overview. We see no action with the boxes on our asset class matrix. We're kind of in a, if it ain't broke, don't fix it situation. As you noted, great gains in many asset classes in September. And we're maintaining our outlook pretty much across the board. Still happy to discuss what we're seeing inside the model and you know, could things get more attractive or less attractive? But generally speaking, still enjoying most of the equity asset classes and hard assets at this time.
All right, great. So let's dig a little deeper and look at each of the asset classes that we're modeling. And why don't we start with the equity asset classes and begin with U.S. equities, which had a pretty darn good third quarter, I believe. So what is the model saying now?
Yeah, well, the model research is maintaining that current outlook for U.S. equities, as we just noted, you know, in that mixed to slightly positive camp. You know, we've noted for quite some time, right, that U.S. equities remain significantly overvalued by our measure. One of the most key pieces of information we look at to begin our valuation analysis is that price to sales ratio that reached 3.4 at the end of September. And just to put that in perspective, that is the all-time highest level that it's ever been for U.S. equities going back 150 years, for which we have data, implying that equities are the most expensive collectively that they've ever been, based on this metric alone in a vacuum. You know, but also, as we've said for some time, valuation measures are not a tactical timing instrument. And so, as we know, an overvalued market can get even more overvalued. It's just a note of caution. And that being said, you know, we still have that positive outlook, but we are a bit cautious and watching it very closely.
All right. So let's step away and look at the ex-US equity markets, beginning with Europe, also a positive third quarter, but didn't quite keep up with the other equity markets. So what are we seeing there in the model?
Yeah, yeah. You know, European equities is one of those few performers to buck the trend in September, actually having slightly negative performance, while pretty much everything else enjoyed positive performance. You know, European equities still maintain that mixed to slightly negative outlook. The yield curve measure we calculate is, it just is not sufficiently steep to be indicative of that growth for the time being. And stimulative monetary measures may have stalled out a bit. So we need to see more from the ECB or other government entities to step in potentially.
So that's one of the equity classes that were not so favorable.
That's right.
All right. So let's move over to Asia now and the Japanese equity market, which did outperform U.S. equities in the third quarter, I believe. and also where there was some rather exciting political news. So what is our outlook for Japanese equities at this point?
Yeah, we're maintaining that favorable outlook on Japanese equities, potentially even stronger now following the outcome of the recent election, which resulted in the first ever female Japanese prime minister. With that, though, we are now seeing maybe the inability of the new prime minister to form a coalition government. So we're going to want to watch that pretty closely, too, as things unfold. But she has indicated a desire for increased fiscal stimulus for the Japanese economy. So that should bode well for equity markets, provided that she's able to achieve that, you know, provided that inflation moderates without the need for aggressive monetary tightening.
All right. How about emerging markets? And we'll put Chinese equities in there as well. What's our outlook there?
Yeah, we're maintaining that positive outlook for emerging market equities broadly, you know, as we continue to see that weak U.S. dollar as a tailwind for the entire region. You know, and then more specifically with regard to China, you know, the U.S.-China trade negotiations do seem to have stalled a bit. That said, both countries just seem to continue operating and looking elsewhere for new deals. In the U.S., for instance, the U.S. has sought to boost soybean purchases now from other trade partners now that China's stepped away. And China has continued to export cars and goods to its ever-growing share of trade partners. So, you know, both can still do well despite maybe a trade deal not coming to fruition here in the near term.
All right. And so lastly, in terms of equities anyway, let's look at India, which I think struggled a wee bit in the third quarter. How's it look now?
Yeah. Indian equities, maintain a mixed to positive outlook. The U.S. and trade negotiations also remain stalled, kind of similar to that U.S.-China situation. Again, there may be some early green shoots coming out of some more recent U.S.-India talks, but for the time being, nothing's been inked. Indian equities are still overvalued by our measure, but the yield curve measure that we calculate for the region does remain positively sloped, you know, indicating the potential for future economic growth. So still positive.
All right. So now we'll shift away from equities, look at the bond market and the current interest rate environment, the U.S. Treasury market. What's the model indicating there?
Yeah, well, the outlook for inflation may be elevated, but maybe a little less clear in the months ahead due to both the longer term impacts of, you know, the U.S. imposed tariffs that we've been waiting to see how that trickles through the global economy. And then more importantly and more recent is the government shutdown, you know, and that includes this temporary shuttering of many government agencies, including the agency, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, BLS, that's responsible for that, you know, producing that data. So just the lack of the actual data creates a bit of uncertainty. You know, the potential for higher longer term yields still exists, even alongside a continued, you know, Fed rate cut cycle at the short end. That is still possible. So these factors just continue to support this idea of concentrating one's fixed income investments in those shorter term maturities.
All right. And what about the corporate bond market or the credit market? What are we seeing there?
Yep. Corporate credit spreads are, you know, still historically tight. It makes that additional yield one can get over and above a treasury, a risk-free treasury, just unappealing for that risk-reward trade-off. And then there's, the risks of stagflationary environment, that is an economic slowdown coupled with rising inflation that's kind of keeping us still out of that space for the time being.
All right, great. All right, so lastly, we'll look at real assets or hard assets as opposed to financial assets, and that would include gold and commodities. And maybe we could begin with gold, which had a great third quarter and is up around, I was trying to think of the right adjective, so I'm going to go with an astounding 50%-ish year-to-date performance. So what is the model saying about gold at this point?
It is astounding. Yeah. Tariff measures proposed by the U.S., along with the threat of sanctions, you know, that's encouraged foreign investors and central banks to seek alternatives from the U.S. dollar. And we've seen that. We've seen a number of central banks piling into gold. Assets and gold ETFs are near or at all-time highs. You know, as gold is priced in U.S. dollars, a rising gold price is a reflection of that weakening demand for U.S. dollars. Really globally, you know, we're also seeing investors' concerns over geopolitical conflicts and relations, though maybe we're seeing the tides turn, perhaps at least with Israel-Gaza. even among allied nations. And so that's helped to boost the attractiveness of gold as this haven asset. You know, and as we've noted in prior months, as gold continues to make these new all-time highs, recently going above $4,000 an ounce, there comes an increased risk of a consolidation period or a profit-taking period. So, you know, gold may continue its upward move, you know, though, as we see weakening job numbers, that may encourage the Federal Reserve to continue its monetary easing, as, you know, now it has to combat this side of its dual mandate. So overall, you know, gold provides this nice hedge. It's a volatility dampener to traditional investments like equity and bonds, you know, in these more volatile times. We continue to favor it.
Excellent. All right. And then what about the outlook for commodities? What are the factors playing on the commodities market now?
Yeah, very, very similar to gold. You know, the weakening demand for U.S. dollars is likely to also benefit commodities more broadly, as they too are typically priced in U.S. dollars. You know, and then so you have the prospect of this global economic slowdown that could that in theory could reduce the potential demand for commodities. But the potential that these persistent geopolitical tensions, they could continue to affect the supply of various commodities, is also supportive of prices too. So the outlook remains mixed to positive. Yeah.
All right. Excellent. Great. Eric, thank you very much for providing our outlook here in the month of October as we begin the fourth quarter. Should be an interesting final 3 months of the year. And Eric and I will be here each month to provide our outlook. So that will do it for this month's Three Edge View from the Edge. As I said, we'll be back again in early November with another edition of the monthly View from the Edge. And if you'd like a hard copy of the full View from the Edge newsletter for this month, you'll find that on our website at 3edgeam.com. And as a reminder, our entire library of video content is always available on our 3Edge YouTube channel. If you think someone would benefit from these videos, please feel free to share them. And if you appreciate the videos and would be so kind as to subscribe, we'd be very appreciative of that. So, on behalf of Eric and everyone here at 3Edge, thanks for listening. This commentary is intended for information purposes only and does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy securities. The opinions expressed in View from the Edge are those of Mr. Foltz and Mr. Beagleisen and are subject to change without notice in reaction to shifting market conditions. This commentary is not intended to provide personal investment advice and does not take into account the unique investment objectives and financial situation of the listener. Investors should only seek investment advice from their financial advisor. The observations include information from sources that 3Edge believes to be reliable, but the accuracy of such information cannot be guaranteed. Investments, including common stocks, fixed income, commodities, and ETFs, all involve a risk of loss that investors should be prepared to bear.